Hello and welcome to my dental hygiene school experience. My name is Dax Ska, and each episode I'm going to share my own experience of dental hygiene school. The highs, the lows, the funny, and the real. Thank you for joining me on my journey, and here's another episode right now. What is up, dental nerds? I'm Dax Ska, dental assistant and student dental hygienist, future hygienist. And I'm just going to kind of go over semester three this episode. So I know last episode I just kind of went over clinic just because it was so involved. But now I'm going to go over the classes. Now, if you're listening to this in real time, then you'll know that I've not put out an episode for a few weeks. And, you know, life just got busy. And that happens. So I thought I'll take a break. And so now that I'm coming back to this, I have not prepared for this. So it's like, you know, homework's due. And I'm like, I have not studied for anything. I'm not ready. But do you know what? Sometimes we just do things without being ready. So if, I don't know, this is going to be very off the cuff. Let's just say that much. I am going to go over the four classes that I experienced in semester three. So let's start. I'm going to go in alphabetical order. I'm just basically looking at my iPad, looking at the different classes. I'm going to start with biomaterials. So biomaterials, this class basically just goes over the materials you would use in the clinic. So when you're with a patient, you know, it could be composite if you're doing a filling or, you know, what else, fluoride, that kind of stuff. So this covers all that. It's quite a range here. So instruments, I'm just looking over my slides, really. I have no plan on this. So we talked about restorative instruments. And so, yeah, in this class, we actually started doing restorative work, which was really exciting for me because that's part of the reason why I got into becoming a dental hygienist. So we start with amalgam. Amalgam's, I guess, easier. I'm not really sure. I haven't worked with the composite yet. But yeah, we were taught basically the steps. And with my background as a dental assistant, you know, I know to use a Toffelmeyer, wooden wedge, all that stuff. But now I get to actually be the person making the filling. So that's pretty cool. We got some new instruments to add. So we got our restorative instruments. Let's see, there's probably about, well, this one's showing about 14, but then there's also stuff on the side, like an amalgam well, amalgam carrier. I know there were a few instruments like a Toffelmeyer holder, not the band, but just the holder. We were given those for the semester, but we had to return them. So going forward, I will not have one until I get one again. So what they do is there's a certain amount of instruments that you're given on loan for the semester. At the end of the semester, you give it back. Then the following semester, they'll hand it out again. So it's just their way of keeping track of everything. It was very interesting to learn about this stuff of restorative. A lot of it I knew, and which was kind of, you know, a little bit of a boost for me just, you know, when you're in hygiene school and you're learning so many new things and it's kind of overwhelming, it's really nice to have something that you actually have familiarity in and you're able to feel like you actually got something, you know? So we've got our instruments. And they also, I'm just looking through the lecture here and they talked about composite instruments, but we'll not get to that till semester four. Anyway, so with our lab time with biomaterials, we would actually work on different things. So like sometimes it was delivering bleach trays, or let's see what else. I'm trying to think off the top of my head here. I know we did like a, we disclosed. So if you're not familiar what that is, basically it's this dye that you put on your teeth and it shows you where all the plaque is in your mouth. And so we would do that. And then we would show our patient, which would be our classmate at this point, just because we're in class, that here's where we have plaque and this is the areas you need to focus on so you can do better when you are brushing. But I think a lot of my time was spent working on amalgam, making an amalgam filling. So for me, that was actually very tough. Basically, our first class talking about it, it's like, ooh, kind of exciting. And so they had this, it's kind of like a desk where they had a camera looking down on it. And they just kind of made one and we could watch it on the TV. And they showed the different steps of how to make a amalgam. And then they said, okay, now it's your turn. Now, for me, I'm like, okay, I've seen this. For amalgam, it's not as common for me to have seen this, but a few times. But I don't know, I felt like I wasn't ready. I needed to go over it a few times. So, I mean, I just kind of blindly did what I thought I was supposed to be doing. And, of course, when you're done, there are certain things you have to check for. So you have to make sure that there's no gaps, any voids. That's another word for that. And then you also have to make sure that, like, the tooth anatomy is correct. So that way, when the person is using their teeth to chew or bite, it feels more natural and it doesn't create unneeded stress on the tooth. So, you know, I move forward with making amalgams, and we had to have, I believe, 4 completed amalgams that passed for the semester. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but keep in mind, the only time we're allowed to work on it is in class, and we only got 1 hour a week. So, I mean, we didn't even start it till a few weeks in, from what I remember. And, yeah, so that made it kind of frustrating, because you can practice outside of class time. Again, you have to find a time that works for you and the instructor. But if you can't complete in that time, it's not like you can take it home and work on it at home, because you need a lot of equipment that you don't have at home, and, you know, having amalgam outside of a dental setting probably is not a good idea. I would think that would be frowned upon. So I did what I could in the time. I did come in for practice times. Listen, I really struggled with this one. I mean, if I'm just being completely honest, I made several. I had one that passed early on, but then I kept making more, and they weren't passing. I probably made, I don't know, 3 or 4 that didn't pass. And I was starting to get worried, because at the end of the semester, or the end of the semester was coming up. And so if we don't get all of our requirements in, we don't pass the class. So of course there's this added pressure of, not only do I have to get it right, but I have to do this and then do it 3 more times. So I just kept practicing and practicing. I do know, like, I actually had one of my instructors during a lab time, I said, can you just watch me to see if there's anything you're noticing that I'm not doing right? So, I mean, the biggest thing is, like, when you first start, you want to pack that amalgam right down in the, so we were doing like an MO, mesial occlusal. So a 2-surface filling with the Toffelmeyer. So in that first area in the, I'm not explaining this very well, but you want to pack that in really good. And I guess in the beginning I wasn't, but I didn't realize that because, you know, I'm working with new materials. It's a very unfamiliar experience, shall we say. So, I mean, I did what I could, and thankfully I was starting to get more and more understanding of what I was doing. And so then I had another one that passed. And I remember there's one day in school where the instructor, she passed one of my amalgams, and we were like 2 or 3 weeks away from the end of the semester. And I was just like, I felt defeated. You know, I thought that, you know, there's a very good chance I wouldn't pass the class. So I was trying, but something wasn't clicking. So she looked at my amalgam, she passed it, and we're like, I don't know, 25 minutes away from the end of class. And then she looks at me and she says, now do it again. And I was like, class is almost over. She's like, well, you better get going. So she actually ended up, well, we're supposed to be able to do it within, oh, what was it, like 30 minutes or something. So, and like, the instructors are very much like, you know, if you are not done by the end of class, you know, you have to make sure you're done before the end of class, like cleaned up and all that. So I was like, there's no way this is going to happen. So I remember, like, I was working through as fast as I could, but even like the setup of it sometimes can take a few minutes because I had to get a new tooth. They provide pre-prepped teeth, so it already has, as a dental hygienist, you would not prep the tooth, the dentist would, and then you would come in and fill it. So we get teeth that are prepped for a filling. And so to switch that out, like, you know, there's a screw, and then I have to make sure I have all my materials and, you know, reset a few things. So, I mean, if I have 25 minutes to do a filling and it takes me 5 minutes, meanwhile, I'm trying to, like, also navigate through a busy classroom with other people trying to do their thing as well. So there's just a lot of, like, chaos going on, it felt like. But, and I'm so grateful to this teacher because she stayed late with me. And I remember there's one point where I was just, you know, like, I didn't know what to do. And she's, like, kind of guiding me. And then she didn't do it for me, but then she's, like, showing me, like, you want to kind of do this, that, you know. And then she looked at me and she said, now, do you want to finish this or do you want me to finish it? And I was like, well, I want to do it, you know, like, you want to get that experience, you know, building muscle memory. And she said, you know, like, she might count this one if it turns out well. So I went for it and I stayed well past the 25 minutes. I don't remember how long it was. And, you know, all that work paid off. I got a passing on that tooth. And then I think I had one more. And then we had what they call a lab, or what is it called? It's a mock board exam. There we go. So basically, with the mock board exam, this was just for amalgam. So this is just to give us an idea of what to expect. And with that, you basically simulate as if you're doing a board exam. So they told us exactly what we need to do. Like, we cannot have anything on our desk. I think we were allowed to go in 5 minutes before and set up certain things. Because I think we had to have our Typodont set up and on the stand. And I think nothing else. So, like, with the prep tooth already in there. Then we all had to leave the classroom. They went around, checked everyone's, make sure everything's within the acceptable parameters. And then we were able to go in, and I think we had our instruments out on the table as well. Then we could set up and do all that. So they gave us time to do that, and then we were done. And I was like, I was starting to feel pretty good because I just passed one. So I was like, okay, this is good. And and so I thought, like, okay, maybe I'll do it in like 30 minutes because I think we were given 45 minutes, if I remember correctly. And so I did it, and, you know, like, I'm just kind of like, oh no, did I pass? Did I not pass? You know, because, like, I felt pretty good about this one. I used the whole time. I thought I was going to be done early, but, you know, I would rather spend a few extra minutes and get a passing grade than rush through it and then make mistakes. So that was a passing grade, thank goodness, because I was pretty relieved. And then I got all my teeth that I needed. So that was a huge relief. Like, this is one of the classes where the written test, not even worried about it. And it's not that I didn't, care about the information or that it was easy. Trust me, this class was not easy at all. But I was more worried about the board exam, you know, the mock board exam. But I'm just looking over other subjects that we talked about. So, you know, general handling and safety, you know, make sure that we're handling things appropriately. We talked about doing sealants, teeth, shade guides, Toffelmeyer bands. We talked about bonding. That was interesting because it got very technical. But we talked about the different kinds of bonds, and, you know, you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm itching too. But you think, like, oh, well, I'm not worried about that too much. You know, I just need to know the bond that I'm going to use for when I do fillings, or if you're the hygienist who you're like, I'm never going to do fillings, I don't even want to know about it. Well, they think you need to know about it, so we have to learn about it. So we learned about it and the different kinds. There's a lot of materials. We also worked on rubber dam placement. Now, being a dental assistant, I'm like, I've got this. You know, like out of all the requirements I need for this semester, that one should be relatively easy. And okay, when you're in a dental office, it's more like you do what you do to get it on there, because the dentist really, as long as it's doing its job, they don't care which band or which clamp you use. They don't care as long as it works. In hygiene school, they want to make sure that everything's to certain guidelines. So they want to make sure that the clamp is in line with the arch of the tooth, or sorry, arch of the line of the teeth. I don't know how to say that, but you know, it's straight on, like you can't tilt it. And so I found that to be frustrating, because I'm like, okay, well, if I do that, then the back rocks back and forth. You know, it's, you just kind of learn to work with it. But that was one of the easier requirements, kind of made me feel a little boost of confidence. We did talk about hand pieces and burrs, which I've only learned a few burrs. I, even in dental assisting school, I kind of got away with not learning a whole lot of burrs. I mean, they're tiny, they all kind of look the same. But over time, you learn the ones that you use regularly, you learn, you learn the ones that you need to know. What else do we got? Abrasives. Oh. So there's different kinds of abrasives. There's the discs, there's, you can use like a material. And we talk about like the hardness scale. So there's Mohs scale of hardness. And we talk about different materials that fall on that scale. And like, I mean, there's so many things. And then we go back to burrs. We talk about like, there's polishing burrs, there's cutting burrs. There's a lot that goes into that. We talk about oral appliances. Like I said, class two amalgam filling. So that's a two surface. Ceramics. So we talk a little bit about dental lab stuff. I mean, we talked about many things. Oh, the mixing of alginate. That was another one that not crazy about, but we have to learn about it. And you'd think, being a dental assistant, I'd be pretty confident with that, but in my career, I have not had a whole lot of experience with it, because I worked with children. And I mean, we didn't do crowns in our office, so we didn't have to do that very often. I think once in a while we had, we do sports guards. And that's when, I don't know, that's when I had someone else do it. So I kind of got away with it. But in hygiene school, you can't just have someone else do it. You have to do it. Your grade depends on it. And sorry, I have my cat here. She's trying to get my attention. And then we did touch a little bit on the anatomy of teeth. So that's kind of a throwback to dental anatomy in semester one. I was just kind of one of those classes where it was all over the place. Of course, it's important to learn, and there will be things that we talk about in the future. But let me move on to the next class, Dental Hygiene 1. So the class preclinic, that's kind of the next step up. So this is more like the classroom side of it. So we talked about, again, this is stuff that you'll see a lot in clinic. And I think this is more like the health, not really sure how to phrase it, but like tools you would use. This is more like the hygienist side of it, I guess you could say. Whereas like the other one would be more restorative, but there's also a crossover. Like everything's intertwined in this program, which I think that's how it should be, because it all relates to our final goal. But we talked about local anesthetic, and so I'm sure if you have a dental background, you're familiar with lidocaine, septocaine, that kind of stuff. Benzocaine as a topical. We did talk about topicals, and there's actually different ones. So we had to learn about like maximum dosage and how it works and the different kinds. So there's ones that do more numbing on the topical than others. So like your typical topical would be like when you're about to get numbed up by your dentist or your hygienist, and it only lasts for, maybe 15 minutes or so. But then there are ones that are stronger that can last 30 to 60 minutes. And so this is helpful when you're working on a patient who ha you need to get underneath their gums, but then they don't want to get a needle, or they don't want to, or maybe you don't want to give them anesthetic for just an area. So there's some pretty intense topical sprays, but again, they're topical. So if you're doing a filling, you would not use this. It's pretty cool, some of the things that we learned, because I mean, with a dental background, and I'm learning more than I have before, it's just, I mean, I like to learn, so that's just the nerd in me, I guess. Another one we got to learn was Orakix, and that's another topical, local, an or not local, but topical anesthetic. And so I actually did get to use that in clinic. It's funny because one of the instructors was like, I think this would be a case you want to use Orakix. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I walked away and found one of my classmates, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I don't know what to do, because in the moment I just panicked. Very easy to set up, actually. It's kind of as it has a different setup, like a different dispenser than you would for a local anesthetic. Super easy. And you just kind of place it along the area that you want to get numb. And my patient really had no complaints, so that's good. Let's see, we talked about periodontal files. So that's like when you're instrumenting and suppose you need to get calculus underneath the gums. This kind of breaks it up for you and is helpful if you maybe got a little burnished calculus, which is calculus where you kind of scraped it smooth. So it feels like part of the tooth, but it's still there and something we still need to get rid of. Of course, we talked about fluoride, one of the biggest products that we use in dental, just because it has such great preventive factors, and it's kind of an easier way for people to take care of their teeth and prevent cavities. I know there's some people don't like to use it. And you know what? To those people, I say that's fine. You just want to make sure that you have some sort of remineralizing agent. And something that I discovered in my free time, I guess you could say, is something called nanohydroxyapatite. And it's a type of toothpaste that's in the hydroxyapatite is what your teeth are made of. So it kind of helps remineralize the tooth. Studies have shown that it's pretty effective. I've also heard that if you combine a toothpaste that has nanohydroxyapatite and it also has fluoride, they work even better together. So if you want to learn more about that, it's nanohydroxyapatite toothpaste. One thing we also talked about was toothbrushing, because you're gonna see your patients and you want to ask them about their dental habits, and that will involve brushing their teeth. And we want to make sure that we can tell them what the proper technique is, and maybe if they want to use a different kind of toothbrush. So that's pretty cool. We also talked about interdental devices. And so what that is, there's different kinds, like a perio aid, or they're like little toothpicks, soft picks, and tough brushes, which are nice if you have ortho, something called a proxy brush, so it goes in between your teeth. And that's more helpful if you have space between your teeth. Also talked a bit about flossing, because those kind of go hand in hand. We did talk about if someone has periodontal disease and just everything that goes along with that. So we talked about there's a form called, what's it called? Well, a dental risk assessment. Caries risk assessment, sorry. And so you basically asked a few questions about their daily habits and like diet, stuff like that, and it kind of rates them low, medium, high, if like how likely they are to get caries or cavities. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It's something that we had used at my old job. And I think it's very helpful to kind of give people an idea of where they're at with their dental health and how they can improve on it. We talked about appliance cleaning. So if you have night guard, that's something you definitely want to keep clean because you use it every night and stuff builds up. So you want to make sure that you're taking care of it outside of just rinsing it off. And then also, like, if you have a retainer, like one that's similar to night guard, oral malodor, so basically bad breath. So things we can talk to our patients about that, what causes it. There's so many things. I mean, they really get into the science of it. We talked about xerostomia, so that's dry mouth. The big thing about xerostomia is that it can cause cavities and it can also worsen periodontal disease. So it's just something we need to be aware of. Medications can contribute to that. And there's many other causes. It's a pretty big subject. There's a whole lecture dedicated to just that. Decision making related to non-surgical periodontal therapy. So, what is non-surgical periodontal therapy? That is basically what's known as like an SRP, where we clean the teeth that goes below the gum line. I think quite often it's called SRP, but from what I've been told in class by one of our instructors who worked in a perio office, she said that that is not SRP is not the correct terminology. Because that's something they used to do, but it's a phrase that the insurance companies use to basically bill out what we're doing. But non-surgical periodontal therapy is the correct terminology. But yeah, it gets confusing. But we talked about that and basically which patients are a candidate for it. If you're familiar with staging and grading, that helps us determine what kind of cleaning they need. It's very helpful to see. It helps you kind of guide your journey with this patient on how to improve their oral health. And I'm just looking over here. So that could involve, well, they talked about a lot about how to grade it, stage it. So, like, what factors are involved in that? And let's see, I'm moving on to the next one. Dental sensitivity. So that's also a big one because a lot of people are like, oh, my tooth bothers me, you know? And so we talk about what goes into that. Chemotherapeutics. So let's go back here. So it's antimicrobial agents, that kind of stuff. So the chemotherapeutics, that's just like, it's basically antimicrobial agents, sometimes also referred to as oral th chemotherapeutics. And the method of action is to reduce the number of pathogenic organisms and alter their pathogenic potential. So basically, we're going after what's causing the disease and reducing it. So either taking it away or not giving it a chance to thrive. So that way, you can get the more healthy microbiome in your mouth and prevent caries and periodontal disease. So, I mean, there's so many products that we use and, you know, a lot goes into it, like everything. I know I keep saying that, but anyway, so we ta started talking about ultrasonic instrumentation, which is pretty exciting because ultrasonic is used by almost every hygienist. And so it's a little has like a little it's like an instrument basically, but it's powered by ultrasonic and helps remove calculus. So instead of having to wear out our arms and our wrists to take off the calculus, it actually takes it off for us, so there's a lot less wear and tear on our bodies. And also is actually sometimes more effective, you know, if you use it correctly. So we have not started using it, but we started learning about it. So we had to learn like number, like the frequency and stuff like that. I feel like that's a little excessive, but perhaps it's necessary, at least for the exam. And I may have talked about this before, but we have a form that we use when we take x-rays. So when you take a full mouth x-ray in FMX, in the computer, you kind of arrange them the way they're supposed to. And then you go through and you say what could have made this better. So sometimes the angle's off, or sometimes, so it can be left, right, up, down, or it could be that maybe there's an artifact on the x-ray. So we use ScanX, so sometimes there potentially could be a speck of dust on there, or sometimes maybe the corner is folded over, so that could distort our picture a little bit. So we basically go through all 18 pictures and we mark them on a piece of paper saying which one needs to change or what needs to change to make this picture better. And then we hand it in to our instructor. They would go through and they would say, okay, yes, this one. And the funny thing is, I don't know if I've said this before, but we've talked about this before in semester two because this is more what we did with patients that we're working with now. But like the instructor would say, like, I wouldn't mark you down if you didn't put it, but I wouldn't mark you down if you did put it. So there's a lot of gray area and can be maddening, and it depends who you get. If you get a different instructor, they mark you down for something that another instructor didn't. We also did a case study. So of course this is very controlled. You don't have to find the information. The information is given to you. So it gives you a patient profile, just basic stats about the patient, and you have to go through, and it gives you like the health history and all that. Chart notes, which are also helpful, medication log, and an FMX. And so you go through all of that, and there's more, an external oral exam and an intraoral exam. So anything that we see outside the mouth or inside the mouth, a gingival description, the perio chart, and more perio chart, more perio chart. So many. And then there's also diagnosed treatment. So this is more information from their chart. And then they show pictures of their teeth. So I have lower right, and we're supposed to, what we can see in the picture will help us determine the questions or answers to the questions. So, I mean, that was our first case study. It was kind of exciting, but also kind of nerve-wracking because it's like, oh, it's kind of intimidating, I guess you could say, would be the right word. We also talked a bit about air polishers. So those are helpful for different reasons. So like biofilm removal, but then you can also use it if you use the right kind. It can also help you etch inside of a crown. So that's kind of a quick summary of dental hygiene one. And let's move on to periodontology. So periodontology is the study of gums, and our instructor was actually, she had worked in a perio office, I think, for 16 years, very passionate about the subject. And I think that made it very fun to be in the class because she was very open to sharing information and had a very good understanding of the subject. So, but it was a fun class, but it was a tough class because there's a lot that went into it. And I remember, I think after the first class, I was like, oh no, I'm in trouble. But then we had our first quiz and I did not do well. And I was like, oh, it's because I didn't study enough. Like you think of reasons and, or I was tired, So she sent me an email that she sent this to a few people and she's like, hey, if you need help, let me know now. And so I was like, I think I'll be fine. I'll study harder next time. Well, the next one rolls around. I did not do well in that one either. And I was like, oh my gosh, I actually studied for that one and I still didn't do well. So we started doing help sessions. There's a group of us that met with the instructor and kind of went over information in the class. And I thought that was very helpful because it kind of was a quick overview. But oh, there's so much that goes into it. So we talked more about staging and grading in this class because it's very important. We talked about the different structures of the teeth and the gums and the bone that your teeth sit in. The gingiva, we talked about the gingiva all day, every day, basically. We talked about different diseases, conditions. One part that was really interesting to me was implants for teeth, so dental implants. Yeah, I mean, I've heard about it, but I got a much deeper understanding about it. More about diseases in the gums, and also just like etiologic factors. So like what causes it? Yeah, I won't talk too much about this one. It's a pretty big subject. I think that we did talk a little bit about instrumentation, diet, nutrition, that kind of stuff, smoking, which is a big factor. But I'll move on to my last subject, pharmacology. So this class, here's the thing about this class. I feel like with my other classes, like even periodontology, it was a tough class, but it's like I already had information I could connect to this new information. So it's like there's already a connection. With pharmacology, I felt like I didn't have that. I don't have a pharmacology background. I basically knew about ibuprofen, and that's it. So moving forward in this class, I was like, oh, it's you have to learn about so many different aspects. So you don't have to know the drug. You have to know what category it's in. You have to know what it's used for. You have to know what the contraindications are, so when you don't use that drug. And then you have to know interactions with other drugs. So think about it. Like, I don't even know how many drugs we learned about in this class, but many. And we're supposed to know all these things. I tell you, it was overwhelming. And this is another class where I thought I might not pass. I mean, I kind of thought that about all my classes that semester because they were surprisingly more tough than I expected. So, I mean, we talked about all the drugs. I don't even know where to begin. It was interesting, but to a point where I just was like not getting it. Now I passed the class, but I'll tell you what, I don't know why I passed the class. I was able to learn key pieces of information and, you know, stuff that's important and relevant to being a dental hygienist. And honestly, in the real world, if you do come across a medication that you don't know, you're going to go Google it. I mean, even dentists go do that. At my old job, dentists would go on the internet and just look for, hey, what's this drug? When can I use it? When can't I use it? It's very important because there are things, it kind of feels like it's out of our scope of practice, but it's not, because there are things that we use like anesthetic where there's epinephrine in it. And we want to make sure that if someone, say, has heart medication, we want to make sure that that doesn't interact. Or when we use the local anesthetic, we want to use the cardiac dose. So that's a lower dose, lower maximum dose than what you could use on someone who, say, doesn't have anything that interacts with epinephrine. So, I mean, obviously some of the information did stick, and I've been reviewing it lately, so it's still there in my mind. But, I mean, there's so many things that go into it, you'd be, you could almost go into paralysis, like, oh, I don't want to do this because of that, you know? But I think that when you get used to working with a certain group of drugs, like, you'll see the same drugs pop up over and over again, and you'll get more comfortable with that. And I think that's good. That way you don't have to know, like, everything. And then the stuff that you don't deal with very often, you go look it up, because you have the training, you will learn when to use it and when not to use it. But I do have to say, this class, like, it was a big class. So I'm going to stop there with that class. And semester 3 was, I mean, it was definitely a huge step up from semester 2 in terms of expectations and, you know, all that went into it. I'm just glad that I survived all those classes. I don't have to take them again. But yeah, so I'm going to end my episode here. Next episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I learned in my first year of being a dental hygiene student and just kind of more about the future. So, anyway, this has been one long episode, and if you've made it to the end, I thank you so much because I probably was just rambling the whole time. So if you put up with that, you deserve a pat on the back. Anyway, y'all take care, keep it real, and you're awesome. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review. It is so helpful to get this podcast out there and to be seen by more people. Another way to support the podcast is to share this episode with someone who just started hygiene school or is considering it. Either way is helpful. As well, I'm going to leave a link in the show notes that allows you to leave me a voicemail. I would love to hear from you, and you can ask me a question or if you just want to comment about the podcast. That would be great. I might even share it on a future episode. Thank you so much, dental nerds. Until next time, I'm Dax Scott.